WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.
Senate will come to order.
Hours after debate wound down, sleepy lawmakers are back on Capitol Hill ahead of a vote on the president's massive spending plan. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Today, Senate Republicans have to decide. Choose the American people or bow down to Donald Trump and his coterie of billionaires.
Jury deliberations are getting underway at music mogul Sean Combs' sex trafficking trial in New York. Legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
The judge is really providing them with detailed jury instructions, like you have to find proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
Police in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, say a gunman set a brush fire, then ambushed firefighters who responded, killing two of them. The suspect is dead as well. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
Keep in mind, this was a wildfire as well that was going on, so they had to go and scoop up the suspect's body and kind of disturb the scene. They plan to go back there later on today.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. Today is the deadline for Wisconsin lawmakers to pass a new two-year state budget. If they don't, current spending levels remain, but that creates complications for municipalities drafting their own budgets. Shali Pittman reports.
The legislature's budget committee met again Friday night, over 12 hours after their planned 10 a.m. start. They skipped debates on major funding items, but did approve budgets for several state agencies.
With that, we are adjourned.
The meeting lasted just over an hour and followed a familiar pattern. Democrats proposed motions, Republicans voted them down, and then passed their own plans on party lines. But not without criticism. Here's Democratic Senator LaTanya Johnson of Milwaukee.
There is something wrong with the decisions that we are making in this body, and we aren't saving taxpayers' money the way that we like to claim that we are.
Governor Evers says he won't sign a budget that doesn't include funding for the state's child care program. Another major item, funding for the universities of Wisconsin, was pulled from the agenda. The committee also resolved a longstanding dispute by releasing $10 million to the Department of Public Instruction for early literacy coaching.
We want to help kids read, and we want to give schools the tools to be able to do that. And unfortunately, it's taken this legislature a tremendous amount of time to allocate the funds for that.
Democratic Rep. Tip McGuire from Kenosha. The money had been held up by a legal fight over the governor's veto powers. Mark Bourne co-chairs the Joint Finance Committee.
The reason for the delay was an unconstitutional veto by the governor, ruled unanimous, unconstitutional by the state Supreme Court. And so we're glad that justice has been done, and we're here now with the proper accounts and able to do these.
If lawmakers hadn't acted on that funding by tonight, the funds would have lapsed back into the state's $4 billion surplus. For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO.
A new deal for Bobby. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports basketball. The Milwaukee Bucks offering Bobby Portis Jr. a three-year contract extension worth $44 million. Portis asks why he's grateful Doc Rivers is his head coach.
You know, sometimes you get put in a box and not get to display what you can really do. So I'm thankful for Doc just letting me just play ball and just letting the game come to me. And it's been easier to go out there and just play the game the way I know how to play.
Meanwhile, Kevin Porter Jr. has declined the Bucks' offer to stay in Milwaukee and is instead headed to free agency. Baseball. Brewers have the day off. They travel to New York, where they'll face the Mets tomorrow night. The Crew losing in extra innings yesterday to the struggling Colorado Rockies, 4-3. Not enough production at the plate, said Pat Murphy.
We had three hits through the ninth inning, I believe, and one was a bloop and one was an infield hit. We had four hits. And two homers that were timely and great. More and more, we couldn't finish the job.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. An isolated shower or storm this afternoon. Otherwise, expect partly sunny skies with highs near 80 degrees. For tonight, partly cloudy with lows near 60. On Tuesday, first day of July, looks like a good one. Sunny skies with highs near 80. Right now, it's 66 degrees.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Take a look back at the weekend headlines with Pat Kreitlow, Trygve Olsen, and State Senator Kelder Royce on what's happening in the Joint Finance Committee. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Kelvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment as well if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 9:30 news, Charlie Pittman, Civic Media's news director, will be here to recap what happened over the weekend and also give us an update on where we are today, at least as far as things like the Wisconsin budget, which we still do not have.
Yeah, we don't.
And also we talked about this with Dan Schaefer a little bit on Friday, the latest from the Marquette University Law School poll on Governor Evers, whether he should run, and many other things. Charlie Pittman joining us after the 9:30 news. In hour number two, Alex Brusnan is the executive director of We Got This, which is an organization in Milwaukee. And this was a listener who reached out to us on Jane Says, by the way. If you ever want to reach the show, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Listener sent us an email and said, you should talk to these people. This is a good group.
Yeah.
So we reached out. And Alex Brusnan, executive director of the We Got This Garden, is going to be joining us after 10:30 news, around 10:35. Talk about what they're doing in Milwaukee's city and the opportunities that they're giving kids who might not normally be able to do this. It's pretty cool. Yeah. And we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today is the Hush Your Mouth edition. And for a good reason.
Yeah.
So stick around for that. We did want to start off by acknowledging that one of the Milwaukee police officers who were caught in an ambush last week has now died of his injuries. Milwaukee police officer Kendall Corder died 3 days after shooting. This from WPR, a 6-year veteran of the Milwaukee Police Department, died 3 days after being shot in an alleyway while responding to reports of a man firing shots on Milwaukee's west side. Officer Kendall Corder was only 32 years old. So our condolences to his family and his friends. The other officer who was involved in that shooting was also injured in that shooting, I believe, has been released. But there was a large march yesterday as they took Officer Corder's body from Freidert to the Milwaukee County Medical Examiner's Office. And again, our condolences to his family and his friends and everyone in law enforcement as well. Wanted to start off talking about the big blob of a bill, which is still being kicked around in Washington. Some interesting things have been pulled. Now, there is so much stuff in this bill.
Yes.
It's almost 1,000 pages long. I don't know if you noticed this, but over the weekend, the Democrats actually read it aloud. Because now they don't read these. They don't read these reports. They have people.
Yeah.
They have people who read these. And then I'm assuming they give them little synopsis.
Well, based on what we heard, based on what we have heard from some of the Republican congressmen, the representatives, it seems like even their people aren't reading these bills.
No.
Because even someone like Marjorie Taylor Greene came right out and said, oh, I didn't read this. I didn't know it was
well, I didn't
in
know
here.
That
she
was
just
in there.
Voted for it. So, you know, I understand you are a congressperson. You are a senator. Your lives are very, very busy. But that's why you have qualified people around you to go through these documents, make notes, brief you on the big things you should know about, things that might be controversial that you'll either have to defend or come out against. But yeah, this is once this and this isn't even the 10th time this has happened where people who are like, we need to pass this. You're like, well, what's in it? I have no idea.
I haven't read it.
Nope.
And lots of reading.
I just trust them.
Lots of reading involved in that job.
Yeah.
There's yes. Maybe a reading comprehension test before they actually get sworn in would be one thought. Here's something that they pulled out, which I am delighted about because we talked about this when they snuck it in. Mm-hmm. They wanted to exclude silencers, gun silencers.
Yes.
During floor debate in May, gun silencers were included in the National Firearms Act. They were subject to a $200 tax that Representative Clyde said violated the Second Amendment. According to Representative Clyde, under the law, silencers are firearms and therefore are protected by another law enacted in 1791 called the Second Amendment. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. They never mentioned silencers in there.
But the whole thing was to get rid of the tax, correct?
Because
silencers are for the longest time, I was under the impression that silencers were illegal.
No, you can buy them.
So we're going to take you on a long walk here. The silencers were available, but they were taxed. His whole point was they shouldn't be taxed because the tax somehow infringes on the Second Amendment.
Right.
Does that mean, and I'm asking this question because I am not a firearms owner. Does that mean that all guns in this country are not taxed? You don't have to pay any taxes on any guns you buy in this country? I'm sure it may be at gun shows. It's like, this is $400. Give me $400 cash and here's your gun. But if I go to Walmart or Cabela's,
I'm paying
sales tax. So where is the outrage on the taxes that are actually on the firearms? I'm very confused, Jane. That's why I'm getting more and more worked up. It's very confusing stuff here.
It is. Florida Democratic Representative Maxwell Frost spoke out against this provision regarding silencers during floor debate, saying that during mass shootings, silencers make it harder to identify and respond to the source of the gunshots. Earlier, I put forth an amendment to strip this tax cut for the gun lobby. House Republicans wouldn't even let it come up for a vote. During 2023, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives recovered over 400 silencers from violent crime scenes. For this reason, silencers have been highly regulated for about 100 years.
Yeah. And
I cannot imagine that law enforcement wants more people to have silencers.
No. I would say that if you ask law enforcement, and I know because I've asked some police in my time, they're not a huge fan of the people having unfettered access, or at the very least, they're being next to no any sort
restrictions.
Of restrictions.
Yep.
So, but yes, once again, though, this isn't about the acquisition of the silencers. This is a tax cut.
Yeah,
don't paint it as the Second Amendment, because also if I'm not mistaken, that representative who was the Clyde.
He owns a gun store.
He owns a gun store. Yeah. So if I'm an owner of a business, let's say I own a gun store and I sell silencers and there is a tax on them. You know who pays for that tax? My customer, not me. So why are you trying to get a tax cut?
Because he wants to sell more silencers.
Yeah. And then, but the thing is are you going to then cut the price of your silencers? Will any of these savings, Jane, trickle down onto the American people?
Seems unlikely.
No. So, yeah.
Seems unlikely.
Wow. This example right here is why the use of the Second Amendment is such a flimsy excuse in the world of gun reform and those discussions. Because anything that comes up is just Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Second Amendment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good on the Congress. Good on the Senate. Good on
them. For pulling that out.
For getting rid of this.
The one person who is being very, very vocal against this measure is Republican Tom Tillis.
Yes.
I was on Pat Kreitler's show a little bit before we started, and we talked about this just a little bit. But Tom Tillis from North Carolina essentially came out against the bill over the weekend, and then Trump responded, well, we're going to primary you. So yesterday, Tom Tillis announced he's not running for re-election. So apparently you can vote your conscience as long as you're not going to run for re-election.
Wow. What a bold act of cowardice.
Bastion of strength.
Bastion of strength based in total cowardice.
Calvin, we have a clip from Mr. Tillis. Can we play that? It's not very long. Play that clip, please.
Now, Republicans are about to make a mistake on health care and betraying a promise. You supporting the Senate mark will hurt people who are eligible and qualified for Medicaid.
We've talked about this a lot. We've talked about this a lot, and yet the Republicans continue on about waste, fraud, and abuse, and there's so much waste, fraud, and abuse within Medicaid, and it's got to stop the waste, fraud, and abuse. I saw another Democratic politician on one of the talkers over the weekend saying, well, then let's identify it. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this many times. Fraud is a crime.
Fraud is a crime, and waste is
If fraud is occurring, then where are the people who are being brought up on charges of fraud?
Yeah, there haven't been. Doge did nothing for that. Doge has done nothing. But also, that point speaks to a larger issue at hand, which is when lawmakers announce that they're not going to be in office anymore, all of a sudden they attain the guts to speak out, and they become more vocal when they're not subjected to knocking on doors and
asking for money
and being threatened with primaries from an absolute petulant child of a president. So where are your guts when you are actually working for the people?
When there's something on the line.
Yeah.
When there's something on the line, yeah. Where are you?
Yeah. Where are you on this? Because the people need you. You don't just get to say, like, well, the president sucks. Well, I'm going to take my box and go home now. Because guess what's going to happen in North Carolina, where this man is a senator? My guess is the Republicans are going to work real hard to make sure that that stays Republican, even though North Carolina is becoming increasingly more Democratic in their leadership.
It is.
So,
and that was part of what I saw yesterday also with Tillis announcing he's not going to run, that this could potentially be a pickup for Democrats. Mm-hmm. That remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Don't forget, Republicans got some great people in the back. Herschel Walker's still available somewhere.
He can move to North Carolina.
Sure, why not? Gene from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Gene. Thank you for joining us. What do you want to say about this?
Watching this live all weekend, and it's like I personally think he did an outstanding job. You know, Trump is an abuser, so is the whole gang. He's not bowing down to him. Okay, then, hey, but I'm sticking up for my constituents. You can say what the devil you want, and they're going to know what's going on, because you know how. Personally, I feel he's an evil guy and abusive, and so are the rest of those megas that go after their fellow senators and voters. And, you know, it's really bad. It's like a clan. It's like a mob. And so, hey, he's doing his last stand, and it's for his constituents, and I cheer him on for that, because I'm really proud of him to at least say the BS they're trying to pull in this BS bill. Thanks, guys.
You do. Have a great day, Jeannie.
Great day,
thank
Jean.
You. Thank you for joining us. You can join us as well at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Tom Tillis making a last stand now that he has announced he is not going to be running for re-election. And again, Gene, I appreciate what you said about him sticking up, but he's sticking up with his one foot out the door now.
And also, I couldn't play the entire clip because it was a little bit longer. He loves Donald Trump.
He does.
He was telling the Congress that they need to vote against this because Donald Trump's promise to Medicaid, which, what?
And kind of implying that Trump is being bamboozled.
Yes. So,
which is not going to go over well. Yeah. We have a break coming up. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The U.S. Supreme Court said in 2019 that partisan gerrymandering was fundamentally a political issue and left it to legislatures and state courts to decide. In South Carolina, a state Supreme Court case heard June 24th challenges the state constitutionality of partisan gerrymandering. At the heart of the case is this provision in the South Carolina state constitution. All elections shall be free and open, and every inhabitant of the state possessing the qualifications provided for in this Constitution shall have an equal right to elect officers and be elected to fill public office. In another SCOTUS case, 2024's Alexander v. South Carolina NAACP, evidence showed state legislators repeatedly said they gerrymandered for partisan, not racial reasons when they moved 30,000 mostly black voters into Congressional District 2, leaving adjacent districts more white and conservative. Their admission of partisan gerrymandering is now being used against them. The League of Women Voters and ACLU argued that the admitted partisan gerrymandering, quote, violated voters' constitutional rights to free and open elections that are protected from all undue influence and where voters exercise equal influence over elections. The groups asked that the map be in compliance with the state constitution. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream as well on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today, our friend and colleague Todd Alba, the Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4. Today, guest hosts will be filling in for Todd, Pat Kreitlow, and Trigvi Olson. Will have state and federal budget updates from over the weekend. And then a little bit later on in the show, the Joint Finance Committee member, State Senator Kelda Royce, will be joining them as well to give them an update on legislative talks here in Wisconsin. Todd Alba Show today, 2 to 4. Join Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olson today when they fill in for Todd. I believe he is on the road. After the 9:30 news, Charlie Pittman, Civic Media's news director, will be joining us for an update over the weekend. But speaking of updates, they voted on the big blob of a bill in Washington, D.C. that they are still meeting on today. We mentioned that they did pull a measure that would have taken away a $200 tax on the sale of gun silencers. So they pulled that out because it's interesting. The more people learn about this budget bill, the more people don't like it. Because of all the things that they have snuck into this, 940 pages, that apparently no one reads.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if they truly don't like some of the things. They just look at the political ramifications that come with it. As far as, like, if we do this, I'm going to be in trouble with my constituency, even though, like, the Medicaid, the social safety net stuff isn't even, like, I don't know. To me, there should be politicians of all stripes just laying down on the track saying, if you pass this, we are done. But, you know, but at least they got rid of the silencers provision.
Yeah, well, little victories yeah. Here, little victories. And we'll take this little victory, too. Mike Lee of Utah had included a provision in there basically requiring selling off our public lands to whoever. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Buy the Grand Canyon. Put up your own private hotel, Jeff Bezos or whoever. Yeah. Once people got a little heads up about that, I think Mr. Lee heard from many, 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 many constituents. So they did actually pull that proposal to sell some public lands. It was opposed even by other lawmakers out west. Mike Lee says he pulled it because of the process used for the bill. He couldn't get safeguards to ensure the land would be sold to American families.
What?
And not Chinese or foreign interests. Nothing about hedge funds or anything. I'm sure that would have been fine.
American families?
American families.
So what, the Michaels down the street are going to try to buy the Grand Tetons?
I don't know. I'm just...
Reasonings are so backwards. It's so dumb.
The Wisconsin Examiner. Well, he had to say something because there was so much outcry about this. But again, I guess... it is an indicator that public pressure does work to some extent.
Well, and then say that in a nuanced diplomatic way. We heard from the people, and the people said no. Public lands are there for our preservation and for our enjoyment, and we must make sure that they do not go to the highest bidder. When really it's because they wanted to make sure that it wasn't Chinese hedge funds that bought them. It was American hedge funds that bought them.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. The other thing that they did do with this measure, as far as I can see, is they are pulling tax credits from green energy programs and they're giving them to coal.
Clean coal, Jane. Clean coal.
Okay.
The coal is much cleaner.
You know, it's my understanding, and again, I'm not an expert on this. But it is my understanding that clean energy is kind of what most of the world is looking at.
Well, yes.
More sustainable energy?
We're still...
because our energy needs continue to increase.
Well, we're still digging for oil. Drilling. That's what I want to say. Drilling for oil. We're still doing that stuff. Oil and coal is not going anywhere. But the world of renewables is something that we need to invest in. We know that even the oil companies know that. And also, I don't know, has someone been talking about manufacturing jobs for the past what feels like forever? I feel like renewable energy is something that we can build manufacturing here in America
and like have jobs,
create great jobs that are great paying, and I mean there's ways of doing it, but nope, you want a solar panel, here's a lump of coal, enjoy.
Well, and again, where is the long-term planning out of this? If we do A, what are the potential B, C, and D's?
Jane,
they don't do that.
Of course, that's not what you do when you have people behind you who put money in your pockets.
Oh, well, and I owe them favors?
Who write the bills,
who make sure
you stay in your pretty little office making your tiny salary, even though you're making millions of dollars in the stock market or otherwise. That's why they do it. This doesn't require long-term planning. This requires listening to your owners. And the owners are the guys in the coal and oil industry. They don't care about long-term planning. They don't care at all.
Speaking of oil and gas and those folks, we're going to reach out to Mr. Global, Matt Randolph, and have him back on in the next couple of weeks because I saw a report yesterday that said that our rig count down now is down 5.
Yeah.
5 to 6 rigs, which means we're not drilling for oil. Yeah. We have news coming up next, and then when we return, Civic Media's news director, Charlie Pittman, will be joining us. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Smart aleck college graduates, critics fronting frantically in New York City. Everybody in L.A. just plain licking ass or having it licked. Irony in place of balls. Balls in place of brains. She gives me, and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hit. She don't mean no.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. Average gas prices fell 7.3 cents over the last week, landing at $2.96 in the state today. This is 1.5 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and over 30 cents lower than this time last year. Gas Buddy's Independence Day gas price forecast projects the national average price to fall to $3.15 on July 4th. This would be down nearly 35 cents from last year's national average and the lowest Independence Day average since 2021. Gas Buddy officials say if tensions in the Middle East remain contained and the U.S. avoids a major hurricane, the national average could fall below $3 at some point this summer. Prices in central Wisconsin today range from $2.81 to $2.87 per gallon. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has announced another year of decreased tobacco and vape sales to underage customers. Lisa Hale has more.
According to a DHS report, the rate of tobacco and vape sales to underage customers dropped nearly 2% from 2023 to 2024. Agency officials say the jump in underage tobacco and vape sales aligned with raising the federal legal tobacco sales age from 18 to 21 in 2019. Prior to that change, the underage sales rate was about 5.5% and jumped to over 14% in 2021.
A note of caution as we approach the Independence Day celebrations. Fireworks are a hallmark of the day, but every year thousands of children end up in the emergency room with fireworks-related injuries in the U.S. According to Aspirus Hospital doctors, the most important safety strategies include making sure that children are supervised by a designated adult at all times, keep spectators at a safe distance, and never use fireworks while impaired by alcohol or drugs. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. How do actors cope with being part of a really dark horror film? Violet McGraw and Allison Williams, stars of Megan 2.0, made themselves happy when the cameras weren't rolling by singing Taylor Swift songs. The 37-year-old Williams and 14-year-old McGraw are both Swifties. McGraw, who plays Williams' niece in the film, says the two bonded due to the dark material, and the way they ended up coping with it was by pretending to be Taylor. Megan 2.0 is rating fresh on Rotten Tomatoes and is currently in theaters. If mystery and horror isn't your thing, how about mystery and comedy? Peacock's remake of the 1989 Tom Hanks film The Burbs is gaining steam. The reboot is not a movie, but rather a series, and the cast is headlined by Kiki Palmer, whose credits include Nope and the recent surprise hit One of Them Days. Palmer is also executive producing. If you're feeling nostalgic for the movie, you might dig the show, as it is filmed on the same street on the Universal backlot as the movie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. An isolated shower or storm this afternoon. Otherwise, expect partly sunny skies with highs near 80 degrees. For tonight, partly cloudy with lows near 60. On Tuesday, first day of July, looks like a good one. Sunny skies with highs near 80. Right now, it's 66 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Hans Breitenmoser on whether the corn will be knee-high by the 4th of July, plus Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She is Civic Media's news director and is gracious enough to carve out some time for us every Monday to do a little update. Charlie Pittman is here. Good morning, Charlie. How you doing?
Good morning, Jane. Good morning, Greg. I'm good. I feel somewhat rested.
Do you?
How about you?
Well, we're not, I don't have your job, and you have a big responsibility because Charlie is the news director for all of Civic Media's news stations around the state. There's a lot of us. And so a lot of things I'm sure you were watching over this weekend. Let's start with the Wisconsin state budget. Today's the last day, isn't it?
Today, June 30th, is the end of the fiscal year. So this is technically the deadline for a new budget to be passed, although it's not really. If lawmakers don't pass a new budget today, we continue with the current operating levels. And I think the legislature has waited until September before to pass a new budget. So, but work, you know, in Madison is ongoing. The Joint Finance Committee met again last Friday, and, you know, 12 hours after they said they would. So I definitely went down to the Capitol a couple of times expecting that they would meet, and then they did it. And you walk back to the Civic Media headquarters, which is just two blocks away. So
right.
That's okay.
You are right down the street. True.
Yeah. It's nice. It's nice to walk down and check out what's going on at the Capitol. So last Friday, the Joint Finance Committee convened around 10:15 p.m. After pushing those meeting times back about 12 times. Some note items that were originally noticed were pulled from the agenda, like UW system, but lawmakers did approve funding for more than half a dozen state agencies, departments.
I don't know that you know this, Charlie, but I'm just curious. What, did somebody have a nail appointment or something that they delayed this for 7-8 times? What are they doing? You're surprised?
They were working.
You're surprised this was on your plate today?
They were negotiating, right? Yeah. I had some texts from some journalist friends who reportedly saw them huddling somewhere in the Capitol.
Okay.
So while we were waiting in the media room. So they're definitely working and trying to hash out a deal. And that's probably why we also saw some things get pulled from the agenda, because they didn't want to deal with it that day. But they did approve funding for the Elections Commission, the DOJ, DAPCAP, the DOA, Tourism, Higher Education AIDS Board, DOC, Juveniles, DNR, and a very specific part of shared revenue for mill rates. Breaking this morning, it appears that the Republican-controlled panel has another meeting for tomorrow morning. That's according to the AP Scott Bauer. I haven't seen it noticed yet in Wisconsin Eyes, so taking Scott on his word. But it's hard to project what will happen in 24 hours, but that is the latest.
It's where we are now.
It's where we are now, yeah. Which is all we can do. I should also let you know that also on Friday, the state legislature, the Joint Finance Committee, approved $10 million for literacy funding. And that's where the June 30th deadline really does matter, today's deadline, because after today, that money would have lapsed back into the state's checking account rather than being earmarked for literacy initiatives that had been approved 2 years ago. but that's been tied up in litigation. It went before the state Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And last Wednesday, the state Supreme Court issued a decision siding with Republicans, saying that Evers' partial veto in how that lawmaking worked wasn't correct. And that but now the matter settled and the Joint Finance Committee took some action, but they only gave $10 million out of the $50 million that had been appropriated. So I guess where we are today is time is still ticking for the rest of that $40
million. And this is just me reading after the decision came down. I believe it was Senator Mark Lyon, but I think I'm probably incorrect, who said that now that the litigation is over, that they're going to release the money. They said nothing about releasing, you know, a percentage of the money. If you're just joining us, we are talking to Charlie Pittman, who is Civic Media's news director, and we're just going over all the news that broke over the weekend, stuff we may have missed, because we always feel like here at Matt and Aaron Air, we get off the air at 11, and at 11:02,
yeah,
something breaks, and we're like, well, we can't talk about it now. But one of the things I noticed was you spoke, Charlie, about if they don't approve the budget, it simply just lapses back to the old, to the current budget, and it will continue to do business. And
right. I spoke about two different things lapsing. Yeah. The previous money from 2 years ago, mm-hmm, for literacy funding, that, yeah, that goes away at the, yeah, end of today. Also, the state budget will just continue under current operating budget into the rest of the week, into the rest of the, yeah, month, if they don't pass a new budget. But that does start to have implications for things that do end, and for municipalities who are trying to write their own budgets. Absolutely. So, you know, it's not ideal, but we do just continue.
And I know that on Upfront, that State Senator Chris Kapinga, I said it right this time, Chris Kapinga was fine with this. And I was wondering, have you heard of any other lawmakers who are kind of coming onto this side of like, if we don't do anything, it's fine. It's fine. Or are people really trying to get the work done before the today deadline?
That's a good question. I, yeah, have also read some of what Kapinga says. And, you know, his point is also that they're not risking a line item veto,
right,
from Governor Evers, yeah, by letting the current budget continue. As to people's thoughts on the matter, that's up to you to decide. I'm just here to tell you what's happening.
Yeah,
I'm curious, Jelly. You had mentioned that the Joint Finance Committee did release $10 million of that $50 million that was set up for this literacy program, which is already in our schools and is a mandated program, correct?
It's for the Office of something like school literacy. That's not the right title. And it was approved in 2023 to set up this new office. What this bill would do, do you remember the whole discussion over, you know, early literacy education? This was over a switch to phonics-based education,
yes,
over the so-called, mm-hmm, whole language
model,
reading philosophy,
right,
model, yes,
right.
As for where they are in enacting that, I don't know. That's a great question.
And I guess I'm just curious. So what are they hanging out of this $40 million for? What are they? We don't know what they're waiting for. We don't know.
I have no idea. Yeah. I know that the ask was for 50 and they approved. It's not quite 10 million. It's like a few dollars under gotcha. 10 million.
So. Gotcha.
Okay. Can't even round up. Come on, you guys. I mean,
yeah,
just round,
yeah,
it up.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not that hard.
Exactly. We had some other, the state Supreme Court came down with some decisions last week on, the congressional districts. Another unanimous decision from the state Supreme Court on this one.
Yep. As for a decision, the state Supreme Court said they wouldn't hear it. They declined hear these cases, right? And it was a pair of lawsuits asking the court to redraw Wisconsin's congressional maps. We had redistricting for state level offices, and Democratic groups wanted the court to take a look at congressional districts. That was something that we heard a lot in the campaign this spring. For state Supreme Court, for Supreme Court Justice Susan Crawford. But, you know, Democrats hold two of the eight congressional seats right now. If the Supreme Court, you know, which has a liberal majority, had taken this, there was the potential for, you know, making at least two of those districts currently held by Republicans a little more
friendly,
you know, competitive. So those would be for Derek Van Orden and Brian Stile. But the state Supreme Court declined to hear it. The reasoning why is complicated, or speculation as to the reasoning why is complicated. It has to do with lease changes, approaches, and we don't have time to get into that. So, it's important to note that the court didn't actually say why. This is just according to analysts. So who knows?
Yeah.
Charlie Pittman is our guest, Civic Media's news director, talking about all things that happened over the weekend and where we are today on things. Let's talk a little bit about the DNR. Lawmakers did approve $87 million for DNR projects over 2 years, so I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah, absent the debate on the UW system, or sorry, Universities of Wisconsin, absent the debate over child care funding, because those had been pulled off the agenda, the DNR, funding for the DNR was probably the most controversial part of Friday's session. So lawmakers did approve $87 million for the DNR, as you said, but they didn't appropriate funding for the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program. And this is something that Democratic lawmakers really seized on. Governor Evers has proposed $1 billion over the next decade. Democrats have requested a little less than that. Republicans on that committee made the point that they are working on this, but they want to handle it separately. Outside of the budget process, they want to pass separate bills. And my speculation is that is because that would also mean it avoids some of the veto powers of the governor. That's my speculation. But this is something that Democrats definitely charged after Republicans for, and not appropriating this very popular stewardship program. And
for folks at Chali who don't know what this stewardship program is, can you just explain it real briefly?
Wisconsin is elite.
It's looking out for public lands, mm-hmm. essentially. Yeah.
Right. I mean, Wisconsin is a leader in conservation programs and in environmental programs. This is a very popular program that has been around since, I want to say the 80s, I could be wrong, but it invests in conservation in Wisconsin. So some of your public parks and so on. So, parks are pretty bipartisan in Wisconsin. And so this is something that Republicans alluded to hearing from their constituents about.
This might actually be something on which we can agree.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Potentially.
Yeah. I feel like we say that a lot where it are things that, as you said, it seems bipartisan. Someone can find a way to be like, nope, I don't like it. But that's for another conversation. I hope so. I really, because, yeah.
Well, and as you pointed out, Charlie, I mean, Wisconsin has been at the forefront of conservation and land stewardship for probably long before just about anybody else. Yeah. You'd hate to see that go to the wayside, and I think that is something on which a lot of Wisconsinites agree. We love our outdoors. Mm-hmm. We want to protect our outdoors. We know what an asset it is.
Well, and also from another point of view, it's a very, very solid business plan, as many of our up north businesses rely on our good lands to bring tourists from all over to have fun and do their things.
So. We're going to continue our update with Civic Media News Director Charlie Pittman on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. We are the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
Engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin.
purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the university system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators get a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at the very end of the show, we wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Hush Your Mouth edition, literally. Stick around for that. Right now, though, we are joined by Civic Media News Director Charlie Pittman is here to do a little recap of the weekend and where we are with all the things going on. We wanted to talk a little bit, Charlie, about the Marquette University Law School poll that came out last week. And there were some kind of surprising findings in this poll. What really jumped out at you?
Yeah, the Marquette University Law School poll really is a treasure, and it is a bit like Christmas and unpacking it when it comes out. So and a new one came out last Wednesday, and of course I was on the road and had people calling me about it. But one top line finding that our own political editor, Dan Schaefer, has also been writing about is about the governor and whether Evers should run again. So first, let's start with approval. 48% said that approved of Governor Evers' job, 46% disapproved of his job. But the numbers are lower for him running again for a third term. So 42% want him to run again, and 55% of registered voters don't want him to do that. It also asked about the governor's partial veto powers, which is something that governors in Wisconsin have enjoyed for a long, long time. Wisconsin has the most expansive veto power. Sorry, the Wisconsin governor has the most expansive veto power in the nation.
Right.
Less expansive than it used to be. We no longer have the Vanna White veto, which was fun. But 54% of registered voters say that the governor has too much power in his partial veto. And as we just talked about, this is something that is an active issue that he is actively using in dealing with the Wisconsin Republican-led legislature.
Yeah, that last one where he changed that year to, you know, cover education for the next 9,000 years or something like that. That really
next
sticks.
4,000 years.
Yeah, that really
is. 400 years.
400 years. That's really stuck with a couple of people there. Yeah, that was interesting.
And it is kind of cool. And it always reminds me, just on a purely technical level, it always reminds me of playing kind of a game of Mad Libs. Or did you ever do blackout poetry with a newspaper where you black out the lines until you make a poem? It's kind of exactly like that, the way the line item veto works. So the way that Governor Evers had tried to change revenue increases for Wisconsin schools for the next 400 years is by taking the line for the 2023-2024 school year and the 2024-2025 school year, and he crossed out the 20s in the second part so that you took the 24 and the 25 into 24-25. That's how the line item veto works. So sorry for the over explanation, but it's interesting.
It was interesting.
I always feel like personally I need a 6-month refresher on that story, because someone will say, I'm like, but how did they do that again? And that's a decision that was upheld by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. For now, I'm sure that what he did to that for the education was within his power to do so. But, and I say for now, because you never know, but.
Well, I do find it interesting, and I don't expect you to comment on this, Charlie, but I do find it interesting that the Republicans they can't trust Governor Evers anymore because of these partial vetoes and what we can't trust him. We can't trust him. Yet they're the ones, when Scott Walker was running, never ran on Act 10, never talked about Act 10. And then until he got elected and then enacted Act 10, but they can't trust the Democrats. But anyway, that's just my little side comment on that.
Was there anything
Should
else?
Talk more about Marquette Law School poll?
Yes,
yeah,
Lance.
Was there anything else in the law school poll that jumped out for you?
Well, while we're talking about the state Supreme Court, they also have numbers on their approval ratings. 49% of what Wisconsin voters approve of the job they're doing. That's the highest they've gotten in the last 7 polls.
Wow.
But voters also say, and this is interesting, that, justices are elected in nonpartisan elections, spring elections, right? Well, a majority of voters say that these elections are no longer nonpartisan. They're nonpartisan in name only, that there's no R or D after the names, but they are partisan. And they say that court campaigns are, they might as well run with party labels, because that is what we have transformed into.
That's what it's turned into. Yeah, without a doubt.
I feel like that's something we've discussed so many times with regard to, especially the campaigning, the yard signs, and well, not the yard sign, but the door merch,
Well, the door placards
Thank
and
you.
Stuff
yeah,
that
yeah.
they leave.
Yeah. That's a very interesting thing. And that we're sort of just in agreement that this is the worst kept secret in Wisconsin, that, and I'm sure in other places too, that this is no longer nonpartisan. So that was interesting to see, but it's also great to see that they are getting praise for their performances. So that's
two things in the state budget that we should know before I go. UW system has been, obviously, funding for the UW system has been a major part of the budget negotiations. 49% of voters say keep funding for the UW system, the Universities of Wisconsin, the same. And then 27% say increase funding, 23% say cut funding. So that's interesting to have in your pocket as we're having these discussions. And tax cuts. Tax cuts are popular. 65% say half or more of the state's $4 billion surplus should go to tax cuts. 27% say all of it should go to tax cuts, and 29% say half. The one last thing I'll leave you with, the most popular thing in the Marquette Law School poll, banning phones in schools. 89% support banning phones in schools during class.
See, we can agree on a couple things. Charlie Pittman is Civic Media's news director. Thank you so much, Charlie. Really appreciate you, all you do. And we will see you a week from today. We got news coming up next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
for listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Senators are back on Capitol Hill to debate and try to amend President Trump's tax and spending package. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
This bill, as we have said for months, steals people's health care, jacks up their electricity bill, takes away their jobs.
Majority Leader John Thune.
It is rich to hear Democrats all of a sudden concerned about debt and deficits. Really?
Passengers cheered after a Disney cruise ship crew rescued a little girl who fell overboard off Fort Lauderdale, along with her father, who jumped in to try to save her. Officials in Idaho say a gunman set a brush fire on purpose and killed two firefighters who responded. CBS's Omar Villafranca.
Behind me, it is a little bit of hazy because, remember, this all came in as a call for a wildfire. It's at 20 acres. And it's still burning.
The gunman dead at the scene. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.